This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media's Technology Products World. We're about to speak to John Rigo, who's the CFO at Avantage. Welcome to Etopia Media's Technology Products World.
Thanks, Mark.
Why don't we just say a little bit about the voice over IP technology that's the basis of all this. What are its origins? When did it first come into existence?
Sure, that's a great question, Mark. Voice over IP has actually been around for quite some time. In fact, it showed up quite extensively in the late 90s, and you might have tried this. I know many people tried the ability to have free phone calls over the Internet. So back in the 90s, we were trying to do these over dial-up Internet connections, and you had to wear a headset and use a speaker.
And sometimes stand on your head in order
right.
to make it work.
And it was free, but the call quality was awful, and most people really disliked it. In fact, it left a bad taste in many people's mouths. And about 20, 25 million people actually tried it in the late 90s. So that was the beginning of trying to do voice over IP. When Vonage was founded, which was in January 2001, we had a couple of things going for us that didn't exist in the 90s. And first and foremost was the prevalence of broadband or high-speed Internet in the home. And back in 2001, about 8.5 million households had a broadband pipe coming into them. Today, that number is about 33 million in the States. And by 2006, it should be about 55 million of the States, or basically half the U.S. should have broadband in the home.
So that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's a difference between trying to do that conversation over that very, very narrow pipe or having a nice, big, robust pipe to do it. So evolution of broadband, very, very key. The other thing that was very important for the more technical of your listeners is was the evolution of a protocol, and the one that we chose is called SIP, which stands for Session Initiation Protocol.
Right.
You can think of it as kind of the way that HTTP made the Internet the World Wide Web. SIP is what kind of makes a lot of the magic happen that we can do now. So today, the call quality is significantly better than it was in the late 90s when people were trying that. And we could do a lot of more interesting things like recreate just about any feature or functionality that you're used to in the telephony industry via a fixed wireline phone or a cell phone. And then we could do a lot of really kind of cool enhancements to that.
Okay. Say just a little bit more about the technology of SIP and how it works.
Yeah, well, SIP basically is just a protocol so we can all speak to one another, and using this underlying protocol of SIP enables us to really build features and functionality that make it possible for the experience to be not terribly different than what you're used to. So in the olden days of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, in the late 90s when we were all trying this, you had to wear a headset, had to have a speaker, had to have a microphone, and you had to sit at your PC. Because of SIP and what we can do with that by loading our own software into that protocol, is we can allow you to use any touchtone telephone to use the service. So now you're not glued to the computer anymore. We can build things like voicemail systems and call forwarding functionality. So it's the SIP that kind of enables us to do that. Another kind of interesting aspect of SIP is that protocol is not specific to voice. It's all communication. So SIP will enable us to actually develop fine features for you that relate to voice, video, or data.
We're going to talk about that a little later. So let's say I'm a potential customer and I'm sitting here and I've got my computer and I do chatting with text and I've used my telephone to call people and I hear that Vonage has got this voice over IP system that's superior to what was available when I tried it and it didn't work 5 years ago.
Right.
What is it that I'm going to do, and how am I going to reconfigure my hardware and my software, and how do I sign up?
Well, that's the few questions in there, but the cool part is there's really nothing special for you to do. If you're interested in Vonage, and maybe you've seen one of the many advertisements that we do, and we advertise rather extensively on the Internet.
Right.
We do it via television advertisements. We do a lot of radio advertisements. We're doing a lot of print advertisements now. But if what you've seen attracts you enough to come to the website, which is www.vonage.com, you can subscribe right online. Takes less than 2 minutes, I would say. Within 3 days after signing up for the service, a device is sent to your home. It looks very much like a home router, because it is a home router. In that home router is a chipset with the Vonage software on it, and it's a plug-and-play device. So one plugs it in, takes an Ethernet cable from their cable end or DSL modem, plugs it into the back of the box, and then take any existing touchtone phone you own, plug that in the back of the box, pick up the phone, and you have dial tone.
So you pull the phone out of the wall and plug it into this router. Then you
right.
plug your modem into the router,
and then you're done.
And then you're done.
Finished.
And you have to download software.
No.
Or is their firmware in your
all
router?
All in the box. All in the box. So when we were doing the extensive R&D work in 2001 and 2002 that enabled us to get to this point, one of the things that we were very adamant about was that this device had to be plug and play and just work, period,
right,
with everything. So the initial device was one that had to be probably put into a router, and now we've kind of moved towards actually just embedding our software into a router, and right now we have routers that are made for us by both Motorola and by Linksys. So if you're going to buy a home router anyway, you can now buy a home router that has Vonage embedded in it as well.
Okay.
And so the setup is very easy.
Okay. Now, obviously, as you mentioned, the superiority of your system over previous ones involves the availability of broadband. Is the system agnostic as to where that broadband comes from, DSL, cable modem, broadband over power line, and especially, we're going to get to this in more depth, wireless?
Right. Yes, and yes. So one of the cool things about our service in particular is that it is agnostic to the broadband pipe. The key requirement is that you have high-speed internet. So it works very, very well with cable. It works very, very well with DSL. It can work on broadband over the power grid. We have customers who actually use it with broadband via satellite. Satellite's the one area where you would find a degree of latency on the call, and it's
right,
kind of the very nature of satellite. Those packets have to go up like 32,000 feet and come back down again, so
right,
there's packet loss. But the principle means that folks get their broadband in this country right now is either cable or DSL, and it's used to be around 60-40 in favor of cable, and now it's kind of approaching more of a 50-50 split, but 60-40 is probably a pretty good number right now.
Okay, now is there a minimum threshold for the system to really work for the speeds?
And sure.
What is that bottom
line?
So
when we send one of these devices to your home, the device is pre-configured to work at 88 kilobits per second of upstream bandwidth. So 88K is not terribly much, but
no,
that is a requirement that gives you basically a really, really high quality digital phone call. Back in the early days, customers of ours who were on the DSL plant were sometimes having difficulty getting that consistently. So for them, we built a little feature called the Bandwidth Saver. And the Bandwidth Saver is a little toolbar that you can access via your website, and you can actually dial down the bandwidth requirement of your call to a middle point of 60K
right,
and to a low point 30K compressed. At 30K compressed, the quality of the call would probably be slightly better than a cell phone.
Right.
60K would be probably very similar to what you're used to on your landline phone, and then 88K would be the optimal setting. But, you know, dial-up is only 54K, so you're not talking about great amounts of bandwidth necessary to do this.
Right. Does it get as good as it gets at 88, or if you're up at 2 or 300 or 1.5 megs, do you get preternaturally good sound quality?
I think after 88K, it probably would be unnoticeable to the human ear. Maybe a dog can hear it or something.
Okay.
Very, 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 very high quality.
Okay.
So that's key. And one of the other things that's kind of interesting with the prevalence now of broadband and more broadband deployments, around 33 million homes now at broadband. So ultimately there will be broadband pricing wars. And I think at the end of the day, to get your broadband business, the folks that sell that are going to have to give you more capacity. So,
or even throw in Vonage.
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice, too. But, I mean, just as a for instance, in Korea, which is the number one most broadband-dense country in the world,
right,
U.S. is number 12 right now, but climbing, on some of your broadband connections, you can get 20 megs of upstream bandwidth. In the U.S., you know, with one of some of the better cable companies, you can maybe now get 4 megs of upstream bandwidth.
Did you say 20 megs upstream?
20 minutes upstream, and then one of my travels last year through Europe, we actually met a company in Finland that offers on one of their platforms 100 megs. That's a lot. Now, do you need 100 megs to have a really great telephone conversation? Probably not, but
right,
if you want to just take a quick look into the future, and Vonage will be launching its video phone service in Q2. With that kind of capacity, I mean, you can have a really pretty robust experience.
Pretty much, movie studios can start.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody can be a movie studio. We're going to talk about video phone in a few minutes. Say a little bit about the origins of Vonage as a company, and even before that, about the source, the meaning, and the pronunciation of the company name.
Sure. Well, Vonage is an interesting name, and we were looking for names for the company. We were looking for a one-word name that had to have some level of meaning with it. And Vonage really kind of stands for the age of voiceover networks.
Okay.
little thing in back. That's where Vonage comes from.
Did you think it up yourself? Did someone do it? Did you hire one of those naming companies?
No, that was before. I've been with the company just about 3 years. So 4 years ago, Jeff Citron, our founder, and a couple of the earliest members of Vonage spent a real long night in front of the whiteboards. And there's actually an internet site you can go to see if a name is taken or not. And they've just kind of throwing ideas on the board, and they settled on Vonage. But I think it's a good name. And we spent quite a bit of time over the last 4 years ensuring that folks have heard that name and kind of equate that name with voice over IP.
Okay.
What we're all about.
So, in fact, you're not at the point yet where you're worried that it's like Kleenex, that it's going to become the name for the genre?
No, not yet. But I think we're at a point where, for many people, if you're going to have a conversation about VoIP, I think you could safely say that VoIP equals Vonage.
Okay.
And we've worked very hard to make sure that if you're going to even talk about that concept, at least Vonage is one of the things that you're going to talk about as well.
Okay. Talk a little bit more about Mr. Citron and his role in getting this going.
Sure. Well, Jeffrey Citron, our CEO, founded the company in January 2001. He's a young man. He's a serial entrepreneur. And he's had great successes in the past. If you look at his career, and the two biggest successes in his career were two prior companies. One was called Datech Online, which is one of the first online trading companies, and the other one was called the Island DCN, a little bit lesser known company, but also very, very successful. The key to the prior companies has always been disruptive technology. So disruptive technology used to take on kind of a heavily entrenched incumbent industry. So Datech Online was all about how do you use disruptive technology to kind of take away market share from the brokerage industry. And because of companies like Datech Online, and in the olden days of, say, 6 or 7 years ago, if you wanted to do a stock trade, you had to call your stockbroker. Now, if you want to do a stock trade, you go online, and for $8, you do the trade yourself. So you save quite a bit of money, and it just kind of changes the way people do things. The Island DCN was about how trades clear on an exchange like the NASDAQ. And that whole industry kind of got turned on its ear by that company. Now we take on the telecom industry.
Yeah, let's focus just a little bit on that idea of disruptive technology. You don't want to go after something that nobody's bothering you to do. A disruptive technology is important if it goes after an entrenched legacy provider in a space where a lot of people are trying to do stuff, and the bottleneck for it is the existing legacy technology and incumbent providers, right?
Right. So in the incumbent telephony world, the interesting aspect is with all the all the developments and all the R&D, but the reality is that in the past 100 years, the way a phone call is made over traditional telephone lines is not terribly different than it was 100 years ago.
That's circuit switching.
Circuit switching, and in the early days, you might remember the old Lily Tomlin sketch where she was the operator, you know, physically switching, but that was switching as well, and then you went to circuit switching, and then optical switching, but it's still switching. In the traditional world, if you pick up the phone to make a phone call, a circuit is open. And that circuit stays open, that dedicated circuit stays open for the entire length of the phone call.
Including the times when you're thinking what you're going to say next.
Right. So it is not the most, let's call it bandwidth effective way to do things.
Right.
The internet is a little bit different than that. The way that a Vonage phone call works in reality is not terribly dissimilar to a way email shoots to any place on the globe. And in the case of email, you know, whatever you're typing is packetized or turned into little packets. And in voice over IP of Vonage's variety, if we're having a conversation, we're having one right now. We called you, I believe, on a Vonage phone, so I'm on IP, you're not.
Actually, I called back.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah, so I'm still on
my circuit. You're on my circuit, right?
But as I speak, my voice is converted for every second of speech into 50 little envelopes of information called packets. And those packets take any path they want to get to the next spot. We don't open a dedicated circuit for that. So it's a far more efficient means to do telephony and a far less expensive means to do telephony.
Right, and to reiterate that, as the internet grows, as bandwidth increases, all of that automatically becomes a more efficient conduit for voice over IP transmissions.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's kind of that's kind of the approach. So we can do things far less expensively. We built a network that covers the entire United States, that covers the United Kingdom, that covers Canada. These are the three countries now where we physically have launch service for less money than in the traditional telephony world it would cost to build network in one single city in the United States.
Okay, let's talk about how that translates for the customer. What kind of prices do you charge for what levels of service, and how does that compare with the legacy providers?
Sure. Well, the one thing we learned when looking at legacy providers, and it's the technology that allows you to be disruptive, and then you have to kind of work with your customers to see what is really going to resonate best with them. So in the world of telephony, I think what the one thing that we've learned through the years is that people, for the most part, hate their telephone company. Because they never quite understand the billing. So if one